Hi, this is Chris Singh. I'm the Senior Director of Research with Veracode. In this HelpNet Security podcast, I'll be talking about our State of Software Security report and some of the significant findings that we uncovered in putting together that report. My role at Veracode is to help research languages and platforms and incorporate security knowledge and security intelligence into our automated security analysis technology. Today, we're going to be talking about the statistics that we've gathered over a long period of time through all the applications that we've analyzed. So we just released a State of Software Security report a couple weeks ago, and it includes data from around 2,900 applications that we've assessed in the last 18 months through our cloud-based security review service platform. This is different from a lot of other reports in the sense that it's not a survey. It's an accurate reflection of real data through the analysis that we've done. And it's comprised of static analysis, a dynamic analysis or web scanning, and manual penetration testing. So this is real data from our customers. It's been anonymized. But what it does is it gives us a high-level view of what the actual state of application security is across a number of different verticals, number of different providers. This is the second volume of this particular report that we've done. The first one we released in March of 2010, and it included about 1,500 applications. So simply just in that short time frame, we've approximately doubled the number of applications that have been included in this report. The top three takeaways from this volume are that, first of all, most applications do not achieve an acceptable level of security on first submission. In fact, we found that over half of all applications fail to achieve that acceptable level of security. And this is, when I say an acceptable level of security, this is a risk-based metric that we use that takes into account the number and the severity of the flaws that we find in the applications. We did find some good news, however. We found that remediation time for developers to fix vulnerabilities to reach an acceptable level of security actually dropped from the last time. So in our first volume, we found that it took between 36 and 82 days, depending on the type of supplier, software supplier. And in this report, we found that it took an average of 12 to 19 days. So for companies or development groups that actually did not pass or did not receive an acceptable score the first time through, for the ones that actually were motivated to go and fix those problems and rescan, they were able to do it very quickly. Even in cases where they had lots of flaws to deal with, they were able to go through and remediate those to the extent that they could receive a satisfactory grade. That doesn't mean they passed, they fixed everything, but it does mean that given the risk level and the risk tolerance of their application, they were able to fix enough that it was that it provided a level of risk that they were willing to deal with. So that kind of shows that application security is maturing. There are better tools. There's probably better education on the developer side, and there's more pressure from enterprises to remediate vulnerabilities. We've seen a lot of situations where Veracode has a program manager working with the customer to help them remediate and help them get their security program going, or the customer has a champion on their end that is kind of nudging the process along. They're in charge of the Veracode deployment, for example, and making sure that when the results come back from an assessment, that they're going back and following up with the group that owns it and working with the developers to make sure they understand the things that we found. If they don't, setting up calls so that we can explain things to them, and then actually getting those fixes on their roadmap so that they go and write new code and get the thing rescanned. So it definitely helps to have somebody who's in charge of the process, whether it's somebody on our end or somebody on their end. And I think that contributes a lot to this drop in remediation time. The other thing that's big that I want to point out is third-party assessments. So by third-party assessments, I mean a case where an enterprise, usually a customer of ours, is asking for one of their software suppliers to be assessed by Veracode. So maybe it's something, a piece of software that they're purchasing, maybe to run an HR system or an operations system. Or it's a piece of software that they're licensing to incorporate into one of their products. So if you imagine writing a large piece of software that has various components in it, maybe some image parsers or a spell checker or something like that, you don't write all the code yourself. You license some of it. You maybe use some open source projects, but you know a large portion of your overall code base is third party. So enterprises are having us assess some of those because they're incorporating that risk into their applications. The other type of third party assessment is when there's a merger or acquisition type of activity. So a large enterprise is purchasing a smaller software company or a smaller company that happens to own some intellectual property that includes software. And they want to understand when they're purchasing that company, whether it's before the purchase as part of the due diligence process or afterwards. They need to understand, well, how secure is the software that we're buying, and what work do we need to do maybe to get it to an acceptable level of security. So we've had a lot of third-party assessments take place, and unfortunately about 80% of those have failed. So that's a greater percentage than the overall applications at large, which was 57% fail rate. So what accounts for that differential? I think one of the things is that, like I said, some of these companies that are being assessed in a third-party manner by enterprises have never been assessed before. So if you think about a small software shop, a mom-and-pop type software shop that maybe only has 5 or 10 employees. A lot of those types of shops may be selling their product into large organizations, but they've never been held accountable for security in the past. Nobody has ever asked them, how secure is this product that I'm buying? So in doing these third-party assessments, we're one of the few mechanisms that enterprises have to test code outside their organization. They can't use source code scanners, right? Because the company they're buying the software from or licensing the software from is not going to give them the source code. So they have to go and get it analyzed independently in a third-party manner. So if this is the first time these guys are being assessed, chances are they haven't thought about security too much in the past, and therefore they're going to receive probably a lower score, a lower passing rate than they would otherwise. If the other area that I want to talk about a little bit is web applications. So in the overall data set, 55% of all the applications were web, 45% were non-web. And this is a slight differential from the previous report where we had 60% web applications. So number one, this shows that more companies are starting to look beyond the perimeter and test applications that are not necessarily just the public-facing web applications, but they're testing the back-end, maybe back-office systems as well. But within that 55% of web applications, we found that 8 out of 10 of those web applications failed to comply with the OWASP top 10. So in other words, they had at least one vulnerability that we found that fell into one of the categories of the OWASP top 10. And therefore, they wouldn't pass a PCI audit, or they shouldn't pass a PCI audit, because applications are supposed to be free of vulnerabilities in the OWASP top 10. The other thing that we saw in looking at web applications was the disparity between different types of security testing. And this is something that we kind of knew anecdotally already, knowing that static analysis is not going to find the same types of issues as dynamic analysis. Dynamic analysis will be able to find certain types of issues that static won't. That's kind of something that most security professionals already know. But when we took all the web applications we looked at, we took a slice of those and looked at only the ones that had both static and dynamic analysis performed. And that was about 20-21% of all the web applications. So in looking at those, we were able to focus in on where those disparities, where those gaps were. And what we found backed up the kind of the traditional knowledge about gaps and coverage between these types of analysis. For example, we saw that a static analysis was able to find roughly 20 times more cross-site scripting than dynamic analysis was. And that speaks directly to the coverage issue that we know about with dynamic. In other words, if you're doing a web scan and the scanner can't reach certain parts of the application, there's no way it can possibly find vulnerabilities there. whereas static analysis is modeling the entire application, so it is able to find more without having to worry about how to get to those areas. On the other hand, dynamic analysis found configuration issues with the application that static analysis will never find. Because with static analysis, you're just testing the code, but you're not testing the server on which it's deployed. So you could have an app that's completely written securely, but you deploy it on a web server or an application server that hasn't been locked down. So that can contribute to vulnerabilities as well. And you'll only see that in dynamic testing, which is testing the live application. But you don't find things like hard-coded passwords or race conditions or log injection when you're doing dynamic analysis. You only find those through static. So the methods are complementary, and I think the takeaway from this is really that one method of security testing is never enough. If you're just focusing on one technique, you're going to be missing a lot. And not only do you have to be aware of what you're missing, but you have to be willing to, for your more critical applications, start applying multiple techniques, static, dynamic automation, as well as manual penetration testing, because that's the only way that you're going to get coverage of the application to really be able to understand where the risks are in all these different categories. There's a lot more in this report. The report in its entirety, which is about 30, 35 pages, can be found on our website at veracode.com/resources. And we'll be continuing to release this report every 6 months using refresh data from our platform every time. So we'll be able to continuously track how the state of software security is evolving and where the latest trends are.